Welcome to the Panther Creek Baptist Church podcast, where each week we bring you Pastor Erdy Carter's message from God's Word and help you apply it to your daily life. If you want to join us on Sunday, visit pcbco.org for the time and location.
I invite you to take your Bibles and go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This morning we're going to talk about finding peace. I don't know. How it is with you and your family, but sometimes when you get everybody together in one house, you just pray for peace. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you are going to be having people to your house this Christmas? And how many have already started praying for that peace that when it comes? Yes. Right? That just happens. Peace is one of those things that we talk about. And we know a little bit about, but sometimes for peace for us, the thing we think about is just calmness, quietness, those types of things. But peace is so much more than that. Sometimes we want to play, I can remember in my days of student ministry, you're driving a van or a bus full of kids and you think, all right, we're going to play this game, see who can stay the quietest the longest. And there's always that one kid who doesn't want to stay quiet at all. But there's more to peace. I remember in Finland reading several years ago, and I went this week to find it again. In Finland, peace is a big deal for them at Christmas. Every year since the 1300s, they have had this moment where in Finland, a city official would come to Turkuk, and he would come out on a balcony in the Times Square, and he'd read a declaration. And basically the declaration would be about peace on Christmas. And the declaration would also have a warning for anyone who wanted to rebuke that peace or be that ornery person and throw a party. But here's what they'd come out on the balcony. They'd come out on the balcony and the people of the city would gather there. They'd listen as they do that. You'll see a picture of the person who comes out on the balcony. He comes out and he reads this. He says, tomorrow, this will be on Christmas Eve, tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because he who breaks this peace and violates this peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall, under aggravating circumstances, be guilty of punishment according to what the law and the statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all the inhabitants of the city. And people every year in Finland gather to hear that proclamation. And they walk away in a sense of peace, and they go to their homes, and they spend their Christmas day reflecting in a peaceful way about the birth of Christ. Now, it's interesting that they do that on Christmas Eve. That's their celebration, their way they usher in Christmas. And you heard me read where there is a penalty for anyone who breaks that peaceful celebration. But the truth of the matter is, in Luke's gospel, we read where Jesus comes to bring peace to all men. It's not just something that happens at Christmas, but it's something that should occur every day, every year, regardless of what day it is. And so this morning, I want to talk about finding peace. Because we live in a world that is filled with chaos, do we not? If you lived in Henderson or Clarksville, Tennessee yesterday, chaos took place. I have friends who pastor in both those cities that I've reached out to. And they talked about, one last night early, talked about the number of deaths in Clarksville already, the devastation to that city. A friend of mine who's in Henderson, I reached out to him they were having their Christmas service or a Saturday night Christmas event and had people under the pews while the middle of the tornado. Chaos. We'll experience chaos. Chaos can be in the form of a storm, physically, like what they're experiencing and waking up to. Chaos could be a storm in your personal life. Things don't go your way. Conflict at work. Conflict with family. It can be all sorts of chaos. And the thing about it, as we read today, Jesus comes to bring us peace. So this morning, if you have your Bibles and you're at Luke chapter 2, would you honor, if you're able, the reading of God's Word by standing with us? I'm going to read verses 8 through 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into the heavens, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, today we are grateful for many things. We're grateful that we have the ability to be here this morning. We're grateful for your love. But this morning, as we turn our attention to your word, help us to understand the peace that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. A peace in the midst of the storm. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Here's your big idea that I want you to catch this morning. True peace that overpowers fears and guides us is found only in Christ Jesus. True peace that overpowers our fears and guides us can only be found in one place alone, and that's in Christ Jesus. It's not found in anything else. It's not found in our abilities and what we can do or how good we are. It is only through Jesus. Because let's take a poll this morning. Don't raise your hand, but just think about this if this is you. No matter how good you are, how successful you've been, how much you love your spouse, your family, has there been moments in your life that have been less peaceful? That there's been problems, trials, issues, heartaches, pain, difficult days. So it doesn't matter how successful you've been, It doesn't matter how faithful you are to the church. It only matters if you have Jesus. So let's unpack this for a few minutes. There's some things I want you to catch and help you understand where peace is found. First thing I want you to do, understand is peace is available. It's available to everyone. We know that from this text because in verse 10, it tells us, then the angel said to the shepherds, catch that. The angel said to the shepherds, the King of kings, Lord of lords, God Almighty himself comes to this earth. And the pronouncement goes to shepherds. Now, I don't know if you understand this or not. I'm sure you do. Shepherds are just about as low on the totem pole as you're going to get. There are a few lower. Shepherds are people who are unclean. Shepherds are people who are not highly thought of. Shepherds have to be careful where they go because they're always messing with dirty animals. So if you would think a king would be pronounced, how would they be pronounced? Would it first come to shepherds? Or would it come to the royalty of the community? Caesar, Rome, and all these people. It would come to them. But instead, God in his ushering in his son sends the message of the angels to shepherds. It's a reminder to us that peace is found, is available to everyone. That God doesn't show favoritism. God doesn't look down on some and go, you're not worthy. He gives peace to everyone, regardless of your status. Shepherds are not special. They're not arrogant people. They're not royalty. But guess who gets told first? Shepherds. And that's good news for you and for me. Because in light of the kingdom, you and I are shepherds. You and I are not worthy of all the things that God has for us. You and I are in need of a Savior. But we certainly don't deserve it. So we find in this text, we see where the announcement comes to shepherds. So therefore, we realize it's available to everyone. The second thing I want you to catch in this text is peace overpowers our fears. It overpowers our fears. The angel says to the shepherds, do not be afraid. Now, I've often thought, how would I respond? Would you run towards or run away? How do you respond? Mercy Me is one of my favorite groups, and they do a song called I Can Only Imagine. And in that song, it's how will I be when I stand in your presence? You know, that's the moment. You know, the people of Israel, when God comes to them on the mountain, they are fearful and they are afraid. In fact, they tell Moses, you just hear and tell us. We don't want that anymore. But see, peace overpowers your fears. A few years ago, AARP does a bulletin and sends it out to their members. I'm not one of them. when your name matches your father's, I started getting it when Dad turned the age to get those things. But AARP put out this thing, how do you deal with stress and fear? Write to us and tell us. So they had lots of people who responded. Some people responded, I deal with stress and fear by eating chocolate. I deal with it by overeating. I just deal with it this way. Well, there was a guy by the name of Don Betts. Don Betts was from Minnesota. He writes in and says, I deal with fear and stress this way. Every January 1st, I give my wife a dollar and let her worry about everything else. And he says, and if you want to have a worry-free, fear-free life, you can send my wife a dollar and let her worry about it and have a fear for you as well. Well, that might work for Don Betts. I don't know that that's the right answer to let his wife worry about it. But there is this sense that if you know the peace of God, you can find it can overpower your fears. I don't want to make light of yesterday's events in Clarksville or Henderson, but yesterday we were coming back from Evansville just after lunchtime, and Pam had already noticed that storm chasers were already dispatched in the areas, which told us that they expected the damage that was coming. Now, I'm certain that there were probably people who read that, saw that same social media post that my wife did, and began to live with a fear about what if. What if the roof comes off? What if the business is gone? What if, what if, what if? And I don't want to make light of somebody who worries, but Jesus comes to give us peace and to help us overcome that. Look at these verses in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And catch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Here's the thing I want you to catch. And I understand that there are people who worry. If you find yourself overcome with worry, you're not allowing God to guard your heart. God wants to guard your heart. God's word tells us if we present our worries, our concerns to God, He will guard our hearts. But the thing is, once you present it to God, you've got to trust God. I mean, let's be honest. Does anybody believe in this room that God's not capable of handling your worry, your fear, protecting you? We all believe that. So when we come to those moments, and certainly we will all have those moments. I do not want to make light, because we're all going to be faced with moments that are fearful or afraid or what ifs. We have those moments, and those things are going to happen. But the thing is, we can find peace in God if we will turn that over and allow Him to guard our hearts. John says it this way. John's gospel says it this way. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. Don't let your hearts be troubled or fear. In other words, God says, here's the kicker. I am giving you peace. Trust me. Think about what it is today that you struggle with. Think about what the worry is. I mean, there's a lot of concern. We live in a world that is falling apart right in front of us. John and Blake and I were talking this morning. I spent the week just kind of following these events in D.C. with the presidents at Penn, MIT, and Harvard, who refused to acknowledge that the genocide of Jews is basically hate and a crime. And they refuse to acknowledge that it's bad or deal with it on their campus. The moral decay, one even says it only becomes a problem if it takes into effect. So you're going to wait until somebody hurts or kills someone before you think it's bad. The moral decay of our world is falling apart. And certainly we could sit and worry about what if. We certainly need to worry about where our children are going and what's happening. But the thing is, God is greater than all this, and we need to put our faith and trust in Him and find the peace to walk through it. If we worried about everything, we would not have come this morning, because we wouldn't have gotten in a car for fear of what somebody else would do on the road. God gives us peace to overpower our fears. Understand, fears will come. We see them throughout Scripture. But God gives us peace. What is the thing that's overpowering you this Christmas? Third thing we see in this text is peace calls us to action. There's peace that calls us to action. In this passage, when the angels come to the shepherds in the field, what do the shepherds do? They don't go run and hide. They run and see. They run and see. They go and find this one that the angels have proclaimed. They don't worry about how will anybody perceive them, whether they have the right clothes or how people will treat them when they come into the city, because shepherds had to spend their days in the fields, not in the cities. They don't worry of anything like that. They understand this child has come, peace to all, and they go and see. Can you imagine? It's a king, for unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior. Oh, we must go see. We have to go see. It calls them to action. They leave and they go. But here's the other action it calls them to. When they see and they recognize what the angel has proclaimed to them, what do they do? They go and tell. They widely proclaim, the Scripture tells us. They widely proclaim. Peace calls them to action. Peace calls us to action. Peace calls us to an action that says, when the world is falling apart around us, we stop and give thanks to God, and we remind people that God is still in control. That we find the peace that no matter what we're facing, we realize that God is in control. Sometimes as believers, we want to live with an understanding or a thought process, and it's poor theology, but it's this thought that we think that because we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that nothing bad should happen to us. I mean, think about it. Just because we come and we acknowledge Jesus, because we give our tithe, because we are a Sunday school teacher, or we are a leader in the church, or we do this, that because we do all these things, nothing bad is going to happen to us. That's poor theology. When you look through the pages of Scripture, you begin to realize that being a Christ follower, trusting in God, that doesn't mean that there's going to be glorious days. It just means that you will find peace in the midst of those days. I mean, you start, and we see it all through Scripture. Joseph being sold by his brothers. Daniel in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. The prophets of the Old Testament who have been called to proclaim, and yet they are told that although you're going to proclaim, nobody's going to listen. Moses, who leads the people out of Egypt, and 40 years wanders in the desert. 40 years of listening to griping and ungrateful people. The disciples who take and follow Jesus, but yet Peter denies him. Each one is killed and crucified. Peter refuses to be crucified like Jesus, so he's crucified upside down. Nothing about following Christ means that life will be perfect, nor should it. Don't take this the wrong way. I don't want you to get sick. I don't want you to have illness. But who greater to proclaim Christ than the one who has cancer, who says, God is bigger than my cancer? Who better to proclaim God than the one who's dealing with a death of a loved one, who says, they are much better. They are completely healed. Who better than the believer to stand and say, in the midst of devastation, I have peace. For that's how that song was written that we began with this morning. In the midst of devastation. Peace calls us to action. Somebody asked you this morning, what's the action that you need to take to have peace? Well, what is it in your life that holds you back from having peace? Is it somebody you need to forgive? Now here's the thing. If you're waiting for somebody to come tell you they forgive you, you're looking at it all wrong. Because their words to you is not what matters. Your heart is what matters. To forgive them whether they forgive you. Do you need peace in wrestling with an illness? Do you need peace with a wayward child? What's the peace that you need today? The question is, are you trusting God enough, knowing that He will guard your heart from that? And let me tell you, that's not an easy thing always to do. Because it's easy for us to start down the path of thinking negatively. I'm not a half-empty kind of person. Worry doesn't really... I'm blessed that I don't worry about much. But man, I can get to a place where bitterness, anger can set in. And in fact, just recently, I found myself reliving some events that happened earlier this year, and I found my blood pressure going up. And I don't know how you do that, but for me, I sit there and I talk to myself. My wife will sometimes ask me as we're riding down the road, because my hand will start going. And she'll say, who are you having a conversation with? I don't know, but I'm having it right now. You know? And the other day when that happened, I had to remember, God, I need you to guard my heart. Because is it God's intention to get me down that path, or is it Satan's intention? That's your question. Is it God's intention to get you down that path, or is it Satan's? It's Satan's. He wants you to go down that path. Why? Because once you get down, I mean, I don't know about you, but once I get down that path, I get so far down that rabbit hole, man, I'm going to do something. That's what Satan wants you to do. Because when he gets you down that rabbit hole, he's got you. Peace calls us to action. And that action is to go and see and then to proclaim. That action means to be, when we're going down that rabbit hole, go and see God and proclaim God's goodness. That's what we have to do. That's where we find ourselves trusting in the peace of God. Well, fourth thing we see in this text is peace is only found in Jesus. It's only found in Jesus. Don Butts, who gives his wife a dollar, he doesn't find peace. He finds enjoyment in giving his wife an aggravating time, but that's not peace. Listen, the only thing chocolate's going to do you in the middle of turmoil is make your waistline bigger. Peace is only found in Jesus. And we have to understand that. You don't find it in anywhere else. So that means whatever it is that's holding you back from having peace this Christmas season is you have to find it in Christ. And that means you have to let go and let Christ have his way. That means you have to say, Lord, I need you to guard my heart. I need you to be the keeper of my heart. I need your strength and your power. And hear me very carefully. You may have to say that multiple times. It's not like Kentucky basketball, one and done. It's a multiple time holding on to that truth. It's not a proclaim it and name it and proclaim it. It is holding tightly to the fact that Christ offers me peace. And if I'll trust him, and I may cry out right now for that peace, and in 15 minutes I need to go back and go, God, I'm still struggling, but you are the conqueror. And I promise, because I've been there, I promise the peace of Christ will surpass all understanding. But it's only found in Jesus. Too many times people look for peace in the wrong way. They look for it, the marriages are in trouble, so let's have children. That's always a terrible idea to find peace. We'll have peace if we buy a bigger house. No, you'll be in more debt. And you'll argue more. Peace is only found in Jesus and nothing less. There's a story, a fable that was written years ago about a king of this town. The king said, I want to build a new palace. And so he does. He builds this palace. It's a magnificent palace, but it needs some artwork. And so the king commissions the community, the village, to come up with artwork to hang on the walls in the palace. What he says is, I want something that represents our community, a peaceful, loving community. I want you to paint me something that represents that. I'm going to pick the best, and I'm going to hang it in the palace. You go to work. All the villagers thought, well, this is a great opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to think about how peaceful our community is, put it on a canvas of artwork, and have it seen in the palace. Well, several paintings came in, hundreds of paintings. The king narrowed it down to two. When he narrowed it down to two, he hung them on the walls of the palace and then invited everybody to come in and see it. As they came in, they were shocked to see the two paintings. The first painting was this beautiful lake. Oh, it was just gorgeous. The blue sky above, the puffy clouds, you could see them reflecting in the water, the grass, the trees, how beautiful they were. The deer was standing, sipping water out, or drinking water out of the lake. It was just a magnificent painting. The other painting seemed to be out of place. The other painting was of this rigid cliff that trees were just, the roots were coming out, just barely hanging on to this cliff like they're holding on for dear life, and the sky was black and dark clouds. There was this bush on it. It was a green bush with a bird in it warming her eggs. There was this waterfall. The water just came down crashing on the rocks below. It just did not seem to be the same as the other. A few weeks go by, people had seen it, and the king chooses the one of the cliff. And people in the town just was like, we don't understand. Why would you pick that one? The other one is so peaceful. And the king said this: peace is not without conflict. Peace is found in the middle of conflict. And for you see, that painting of that rock and that cleft was just a lot of conflict, but in the middle of that was that green bush with that bird resting in that tree, warming her eggs, finding peace in the middle of the conflict. Do you need to find peace in the middle of the conflict this morning? Peace is only found in Jesus. It's available to all. No matter who you are this morning, no matter what your past is, no matter what your sin is, no matter what you've done, peace is for you. You can have peace to overcome your fears, your failures, your heartache. Peace will call you to make action. That action today is to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or a prayer request, you can email us at pcbc@pcbco.org.